Chapter 14.
What is that?
Kaelan gasped as he pointed to the wall on the shores of the Dragonkin Island.
I've never seen any rock formations grow like that before.
That's because it's not a rock formation. My people and I built the wall from the ground up, using nothing but mud, straw, and some stone.
You can do that?
The boy sounded completely flabbergasted as his jaw fell agape.
Valea always said only nature could build structures so strong and majestic.
Kid, with a little bit of training and a whole lot of resourcefulness, you can do just about anything. Of course, instructional YouTube videos help a lot, too.
YouTube videos?
Kaelan raised an eyebrow as we slowed our vessel to a crawl.
They are these magical things from back in the Dracorax's home world he is always talking about.
Mira elaborated.
Apparently, it was common for humans to watch other humans on portable mirrors they carried around everywhere.
You had magic mirrors?
Kaelan's eyes lit up with intrigue. They were called smartphones, but yeah, pretty much. You could learn a lot from people all around the world. It's where I learned a lot of my survivalist skills, coupled with all the training I got from the Coast Guard.
Well, I'm surprised your people have not fled in terror. Normally, when I fly up to an island, all of the creatures scatter and hide.
It's because you're with us, I explained to the fat brown dragon. They all know we were going off to find a new dragon, so they probably just assume our mission was successful.
Obviously. If Bungal was a dangerous dragon, our ship would be nothing but a smoldering husk right now. What do you mean, if he was dangerous?
Nadir proclaimed from across the ship.
Bungal the Mighty is the most dangerous dragon in the world, with his fat belly and his powerful muscles. If he truly wanted to, my dragon could completely level this entire island with his fiery breath.
My word. Why would I ever do such a thing?
Nadir's face fell as she looked up at her bondmate and then placed her hands on her hips. The twins' eyes fluttered open when their mother shifted, and they both yawned widely before they rested back against her bosom.
Because you are a mighty dragon,
Nadir huffed.
It's right there in your name.
Why, my dear Nadir.
Bungal chuckled and shook his head so hard his jowls jiggled.
There are many ways in which a being can be mighty. Yes, one can be considered mighty because of their brute strength or their penchant for violence, but they could also be considered mighty because of the scholarly contributions they have made to a canon, or how they handle adversity using their intellect.
I do not understand many of those words,
the Kunag woman admitted.
I'm just going to assume you're talking about the different ways you could eat an enemy or reduce their bones to ash.
That's not it at...
Bungal began, but his bondmate cut him off.
Let's just leave it at that.
Nadir smirked as she ran her fingers through her children's hair. The Dragon Queen soon came to the shallows, so I had my crew hoist the sails and drop the anchor once more. We then lowered the rowboat down into the ocean, climbed inside, and began to paddle toward the shore. Tyrion, Owara, Bungal, and Swa'er flew above us, while Saren carried Morella on her back in the water like a seahorse. The Dragonkin twins left their posts as we drew closer to the sandy beaches of the island, and they all strutted down the stair willow trees to greet us.
Oh, we knew it was you, Ben.
Zarya smiled widely as she brushed a bit of her golden hair off her shoulder.
The second we saw the dragon, we knew the Dracorax had returned from another successful voyage. And what a successful voyage it was!
Her twin, Darya, declared as she marveled at Bungal.
I've never seen a dragon of this size before, and he is now on our side?
I sure is.
Nadir grinned with her head held high.
Bungal the Mighty is my bondmate.
A pleasure to meet you, my dears,
Bungal said as he gave a mid-air bow.
Very impressive, Nadir. It seems quite fitting that you would bond with such a powerful beast, given your, fighting style.
You can say it,
Lazan teased as she walked over.
Nadir is crazier than a clucker bird in a tornado. Oh, what does that make you then?
Nadir huffed at the other raccoon woman.
Oh, even crazier.
Lazan winked and then chomped her razor-sharp teeth at her leader.
The difference is I actually admit it.
Jaren mimicked his mother's action, and my heart melted at his adorable attempt to be rabid.
Oh, and who are these little guys?
Zarya gasped when she noticed the babies. Meet the three newest members of our group. Jaren is the son of Lazan, and Oryk and Tara are my fraternal twins with Nadir.
Oh, did you hear that, sister?
Darya grinned as she shot her sister side eyes.
Another set of twins? We will have to teach them the ways of the Dragonkin warrior.
Zarya agreed.
No, you don't.
Lazan shook her head furiously.
Kunak children have a very specific training regimen that begins when they are only a few days old. They may all be part Dragonkin, but they are going to be full-blooded Kunag by the time we are done with them.
We should get back to the castle, I announced as I tried to change the subject. The rest of our people will be through the roof when they see what we've brought back from our long journey.
I'm just glad you have returned, Draco Rex.
Zarya sighed as she darted over and rested her head against my shoulder.
It was starting to get lonely on this island. Indeed.
Darya purred as she came around to my other side and dragged her fingers across my chest lovingly.
As much as I enjoy the company of my sister, nothing compares to having you around.
I'm sorry I left, I chuckled before I wrapped my arms around the twins' shoulders. Hopefully, if we keep finding dragons like Bungal here, I won't have to leave anymore. Once the orcs are out of the picture, we can all just hang around and relax on our island, doing nothing but enjoying each other's company and building a life together.
That sounds lovely,
Zarya noted.
Kind of.
Darya giggled.
I do wish to defeat the orcs, but a life without combat and war, I'm not sure I'd even know what to do with myself.
There'd still be plenty of combat,
Mira chimed in.
Do not think that just because I've been following Ben around the world means that I've forgotten about our Tournament of Trials rematch.
I was certainly hoping you hadn't.
Darya grinned as her eyes lit up with determination.
I want to prove once and for all I am the superior warrior, and defeating you twice would eliminate any question.
You got lucky first time.
Mira stuck her tongue out at the golden-scaled dragon woman.
You barely made it past Sela.
That will not happen again.
Darya's brow furrowed.
Sela had the clever idea to change up her technique so I would not know what was coming. She may have given me all I could handle, but I still defeated her soundly.
Just think, I declared, as I leaned my head against Darya and gestured to the world around us. Once the orcs are gone, it'll be like a non-stop celebration. We can have Dragonkin tournaments and Chero festivals every single day of the year, all without having to worry about those green bastards coming around to ruin everything.
That sounds wonderful,
Zarya admitted.
Too bad that day is not close.
Alvi's deep voice huffed.
Goblins are on the way.
Goblins?
Darya asked with an inquisitive tone. Goblins. I'll tell you about it on the way, but first I want you all to meet our newest guests. These are the Spindrel people and their pet Slaughtertooth, Weyren. I proceeded to go one by one to the different Spindrel women and introduce them to the Dragonkin twins. Then, with the twins still in my arms, we turned back to the wall and headed for the stairs. The crew and I climbed the stair willows, passed over the top of the wall, and then came down on the sandy ground on the other side.
Wow,
Valeya gasped as she took in the sight of the jungle before her.
I have never seen so many strange plants before. Even the island we just came from at least had some I recognized.
Oh, this is nothing, Jonas proclaimed. I lived in isolation in the mountains for several years, and I could still not even scratch the surface of identifying all the strange plants and trees on the island.
We should pair you up with Kandara,
Awara noted.
She knows much about the way animals work, and you seem to know much about plant life. Together, I think you'd make a great team.
Well, throw in Isla while you're at it, since she knows so much about geography and history, and you'd have quite the little research team. It'd put all my college lab groups to shame. We pressed on down the beach until we came to the paved pathway that wound through the jungle and to the Dragonkin castle.
I'm afraid this is where we have to part ways.
Zarya sighed.
My sister and I are on guard duty until sunset, so we may not leave our posts.
That's fine. I winked at the twins. Maybe we can all meet at the treehouse when your shift is over. Both of the twins blushed bright red when they thought back to our time in their secret treehouse, where we'd all shared in each other's love, and the incident that had gotten them pregnant.
About that, Ben.
Darya's voice had a slight tremble.
Have you heard the good news? Zarya and I, we are,
I know, you're both pregnant. I smiled and then kissed her golden hair. Morella has already foreseen it, and I couldn't be happier. I kissed Darya passionately for a moment, before I turned to the side and kissed Zarya. The twins then pulled away with their faces still bright red. They giggled as they looked down at the sand and rocked back and forth, but then they took a step back and smiled.
"We should get back to our post,"
Zarya grunted as she tried to keep up her rough and tough demeanor.
"We cannot let anyone get past our defenses, especially now we have even more children on the island. It was a pleasure to meet you all,"
Darya said to the Spindrel and Bungal.
"I look forward to all the crazy situations we will get into together in the future."
Darya and Zarya then spun on their heels and headed back to the stone wall.
Benjamin?
Bungal cleared his throat as we all watched them leave.
"Not to be a stick in the mud, but how am I supposed to follow this path? I do believe I am a bit too rotund to make it through without destroying many trees and stomping on many plants."
"You can just fly,"
Nadir suggested.
"There is plenty of space near the castle for even the biggest, strongest dragon around."
"That's not a good idea,"
Mira shook her head.
"The dragonkin and Nyarl Apouchers will attack the second they see a strange beast approaching."
"Then we'll have to go on ahead and warn them, and we'll eventually have to widen this pathway. But for now, Bungal, just hang back and we'll let you know when the coast is clear."
"Huzzah! That is quite the plan, Benjamin."
We all watched as the fat brown dragon lumbered over to a more open part of the beach, walked in a circle like a cat, and then plopped down into the sand. Bungal wiggled his fat belly back and forth as he dug into the sand, but then he simply sighed and laid his chin against the ground. With Bungal comfily in place, we all headed down the pathway through the jungle. The air was heavy and humid as we walked, and the branches of the tropical trees creaked and swayed in the gentle breeze with a calming rustle. Soon we came upon the Dragonkin Palace.
"You built this too?"
Kaelon whistled. "I didn't build this one. This structure was already here when I arrived in this world. It's still pretty damn impressive, though." I led the crew, dragons and spindrels, in through the front gate, and then down the stucco-style hallways of the palace, until we came out at the main courtyard. Before us stood a large open space with a sandy ground and several small thatched roof pavilion areas. Wooden tables were spread around the courtyard, but they were mainly used for our feasting and celebratory purposes. Of course, I knew a grand celebration was on its way once Nerissa saw the dragon we'd brought back. Speaking of the Dragon Queen, she was already out in the courtyard waiting for our return. The Morpho Queen, Dalwin, and the Nerilope leader, Ainsley, sat next to Nerissa, and all three of the royal women chatted away without a care in the world. Meanwhile, across the way, I saw the water dragons, George, Malky, and Nixie, as they played with all of my children. Nixie had Mir, Lizzie, and Amaria atop her back, and my three youngest clung on for dear life as the water dragon slowly lumbered around in a circle. George carried Oshuna atop his back, and the little dragonkin toddler screamed and wailed happily as George hopped to and fro in the sand like a bucking bronco. My eldest son, Eric, was across from his bondmate, Malky, and he stood in a fighting stance with a wooden sword in his hand. The copper-scaled Malky craned his neck for a split second before he hauled back and whipped it forward like an ankylosaurus's tail. Eric parried the attack with his wooden weapon before he leapt back, twirled it around, and let out a laugh.
"Is that all who I taught you?"
the Dragon Prince declared in a mocking tone.
"I didn't even need sea glass to stop that. Who was a lot bigger than me? You definitely wouldn't be blocking his neck."
"Are they practicing sparring?"
Kaelon questioned with a wide smile.
"I have never sparred with anybody my own age."
I don't know about that,"
Morella chuckled.
"Eric's not exactly the kind of kid who plays well with others. He's actually never met another kid his age before."
"I'm sure it'll be all right,"
the brown-haired spindrel said.
"You came around to me pretty quickly."
Morella and Saren exchanged an amused look as they both pressed their lips together firmly and fought back the laughter that twinged to the edges of their mouths.
"I guess if you want to try it,"
my daughter shrugged with a mischievous grin.
"I mean, I am a soothsayer, but maybe I'm wrong on this one."
"Oh, can I, Mom?"
Kaelon begged Pei.
"Can I please go spar with that boy?"
"Of course you can,"
Pei mused.
"Just be sure you are practice sparring and not actually trying to hurt him."
"Eric's been trained by the Draco Rex, Mira, and Sella."
Saren chuckled to herself.
"I don't think he's the one in danger."
Kaelon let out a happy woohoo before he dashed over to Eric and Malky.
"Come on, Saren. We can't miss this."
My daughter and her bondmate quickly followed to join their siblings, but I didn't have the luxury of being able to watch the whole scene unfold. I needed to introduce the Council of Queens to the newest members of our crew, so I motioned for everyone to follow me over to the table where the three leaders were stationed, and gave a little bow. Their eyes lit up as their faces turned to wide smiles when they saw me, and I felt a swell of pride as I seated myself amongst the royalty.
"Welcome home, Ben,"
Nerissa proclaimed as she looked over the crew.
"I see you picked up some new subjects along the way."
"I am Pei,"
the silver-haired hedgehog woman introduced herself.
"Magnus Dew of the Spindrel People. The Draco Rex single-handedly saved our race from annihilation."
"You'll find he does that quite often,"
the beautiful strawberry blonde Ainsley interjected.
"He has done that for each and every single race of women you see before you today. I'm Ainsley, the leader of the Nerolope."
"Dawin,"
the purple-eyed, yellow-haired Morpho Queen introduced herself.
"What kind of horrors did Ben save your people from? Was it the orcs? Evil men? A wild beast who was eating all of your food?"
"A dragon,"
Alvi interjected.
A dragon?"
Dalwyn gasped as her eyes went wide.
"You had to slay a dragon, Ben."
"He didn't kill it,"
Awara reassured her leader.
"It was one of the dragons that had formerly been bonded to a Morpho man."
All three of the queens sat straight up to attention as their eyes began to search through the crowd of our crew.
"It's not that, is it?"
Nerissa asked as she pointed to Weyren. The Slaughtertooth let out a surprised grunt in response before his eyes narrowed and he hung his head sadly.
"Weyren is not a dragon!"
Valea laughed as she knelt down and threw her arms around her pet like an overprotective dog owner.
"He is a Slaughtertooth. Why would a dragon have a beak?"
"Why would a dragon have fur?"
Nerissa noted as she nodded to Swaer.
"We have only encountered a handful of dragons in our time here, my friend. For all we know, there could be a dragon out there that looks like a fish."
"It's like she doesn't even know us,"
Swaer teased.
"So, where is the dragon, then?"
Dalwyn demanded.
"If it is not dead, but you removed it from the island..."
"Bungal?" I addressed the dragon telepathically. "Coast is clear."
"On my way, Benjamin."
While we waited on Bungal, we took some time for our new friends to get acquainted with the queens. Pei introduced all of her subjects before jumping into their story. The silver-haired beauty explained all about the virus and how it had been created by the alchemist and how it had wiped out all of their people. Then she talked about how Bungal had come to the island rife with rage and threatened to finish the Spindrel race off for good.
"And that's when Ben and the crew arrived,"
Errol declared.
"They helped us tame the dragon,"
Ura added.
"And the Draco Rex is also helping us repopulate."
"I see."
Ainsley's ocean blue eyes glanced at me as a knowing half-smile twisted up her mouth.
"Ben has a knack for doing that as well."
Speaking of which, I said as I looked around. "Where are Algan and Nearly?"
"They are with Gemma and Talisi,"
Ainsley explained.
"They are still too young to be playing with the older kids, though they still need mental stimulation."
Then Talisi is the best one to do it. She's had plenty of experience with raising a kid, so I'm sure she's giving Gemma all sorts of tips right about now.
"We will not need any tips,"
Nadir declared as she stepped forward.
"Lizan and I already know how to raise a Kunag child."
"Praise the goddess Nira!"
Ainsley grinned as her eyes fell on the new infants.
"Oh, you finally gave birth!"
"And you won't even notice that we did,"
Lizan snickered.
"We raise our children to be very independent, so all we will require from you is the Dragonkind's finest weaponry, you know, for training purposes."
"We have plenty of training weapons,"
Nerissa argued with a raised eyebrow.
"Eric is using one as we speak."
No.
Nadir shook her head.
"We need the real thing. They won't be strong enough to hold a stone axe for at least a few months, but we could at least get them started with something pathetic like a dagger."
"Yeah!"
Kaylan's voice shrieked from across the courtyard. We all turned to see the hedgehog boy sitting flat on his ass with his double-ended staff 6 feet to his right. Eric had his wooden sword pointed straight at Kaylan's chest, as if he were about to stab him. But my son's expression was anything but playful. He wore a scowl on his mouth, with narrowed eyes and a very stiff posture.
"You ever talk about my sisters that way again, and it won't be a fake sword next time! Got it?"
I didn't mean to offend you. I was just saying I thought she looked like the most beautiful creature in all the lands.
It's all right, Eric.
Morella reassured her brother as she walked over to him and placed her hand on his shoulder.
He's armless.
No, he better be.
My son warned.
Or else I'm gonna make him armless, if you catch my drift.
Hey, guys! I called out to my kids in a dad tone. Try to play nice with your new friend, okay?
Yeah.
Eric lowered his wooden sword. My son rolled his eyes as he held out his hand and helped Kaylon back to his feet. Then he turned away toward Malky and began to spar with his water dragon once more. Sheesh. I guess now I knew what it was like to date somebody with kids. My children and their children were going to have to learn how to get along, even if it killed them. Suddenly, a dark shadow seemed to blot out the sky, accompanied by the sound of beating wings. I smiled intensely as I saw the fat form of Boongal in the sky, though all my friends could do was stare up at the majestic beast.
Is that the dragon?
Ainsley gasped through a wide-open mouth.
This is Boongal the Mighty?
Nadir introduced the beast as he floated down onto the sand.
My bondmaid.
Holy shit!
Eric called out as he came barreling toward the brown dragon.
Holy shit!
Oshuna repeated her brother's words.
Eric! I grumbled as I facepalmed. What did I tell you about language?
Sorry, Dad.
My son chuckled as he rubbed the back of his head awkwardly.
Oh, but this is really fucking cool!
Eric!
I sighed again. Eric's gray eyes went wide, and he clapped his open palm over his mouth to keep himself from saying anything further.
Greetings,
George announced to Boongal as he gave a small bow.
Welcome to our island, friend. It is always a happy day when the Dragon Clan increases in numbers.
Hello there, old chap!
Boongal smiled at the family of water dragons.
Pleased to make your acquaintance.
Whoa!
Malky whistled as he looked Boongal over.
You're huge!
That's not very nice, Malky.
Nixie warned her son.
Yeah, Malky.
Saren chuckled in a mocking tone.
Way to go.
It's Trudo!
Malky grumbled at his sister.
He's way bigger than you, and that's saying something.
Excuse me?
Saren hissed, but Nixie quickly stepped in between her children.
This is no way to act in front of a new friend.
The pink water dragon warned.
Sorry, Mom.
Both of the adolescent water dragons said in unison.
Oh, it's quite all right.
Boongal chuckled as he sat up, slapped his belly, and watched it jiggle.
Well, I have always been known for my size. It is only because I am such a good hunter.
That is incredible,
Narissa muttered as she watched the dragons interact.
Ben, this could change the entire tide of the war against the orcs.
That's what I'm hoping. If we can get one or two more of these fire-breathing dragons on our side, we can easily overtake the Orc Island and end this nightmare once and for all.
One step at a time,
Mira sighed.
There's a new threat in the fray. Goblins,
Alvi warned.
They're coming here.
That was their original plan anyway. We may have completely thrown a wrench in that, though, since we destroyed the warehouse and eliminated most of their stockpile.
Let's hope so. I never want to see another goblin as long as I live. They're hideous. She hasn't seen the orcs yet, has she?
Ainsley mused.
Or the wargs? I don't see how you can get much uglier than those things. I must tell Ali and Beratu to prepare a feast,
Narissa declared as she stood from her chair.
To welcome our new friends to our island.
As long as we all get the boar. So Aaron, Seren, and I did a lot of work on this journey.
Hold on,
Matari interjected.
Did you say Halley and Baratu? Before we left, Ben told us they weren't getting along.
They were definitely having some authority issues, mostly about whose recipes were superior and who was in charge of the kitchen.
They must have resolved those disputes.
Narissa shrugged.
The two of them have been working together for the last few days, and they have come up with some truly strange yet satisfying dishes.
Oh, hell yeah. I smiled as I thought about Baratu and Halley's food. We should definitely go tell them to start preparing. Both of the chefs were fucking fantastic on their own, so I can only imagine what they could do with their combined forces.
A feast?
Shala questioned.
In honor of us? You'd better watch out, Pei. I may just end up staying here forever if that sort of thing keeps up. We would be honored to be the subjects of your celebration. Thank you so much for your hospitality. Though, I wonder if... Draco Rex!
Daria's voice echoed through the courtyard as the dragonkin warrior came barreling through the entrance.
Dracorex!
What's the matter? I turned around and my heart skipped a beat when I saw the golden-scaled woman. Her hair was tussled from the wind, and her face was red as she dripped with sweat and panted in short, heavy breaths. Daria doubled over the second she stopped, and then she held her finger up to indicate she needed a minute.
There are ships on the horizon,
she sputtered.
I ran here as fast as I could to tell you there are ships on the horizon.
What kind of ships? I demanded, as I felt the color drain from my face.
The orc kind.
Daria looked up at me, and her eyes were filled with dread.
Son of a bitch,
I growled as I looked around to my friends. Looks like our feast is going to have to wait. Go round up all the able-bodied warriors you can, and then lock the children away in the safe hold.
Do you think it's the goblins?
Valea asked. I don't care who it is. If they're sailing orc ships, they're going to be trouble. It looked like our dinner plans for the night were canceled on account of invading orcs. I just hoped we'd taken out enough of their chemical weapons to make a difference.